Hello and welcome to Put It in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Hello Andy, how are you?
I am well, and you?
I too am well.
We are coming at you live, not live.
Live to tape, I guess.
Skype? What?
Live to tape, I guess.
Yeah, live to tape.
Yeah.
I guess you could say we had some technical difficulties with the last episode. You know what, we didn't even. It's just, we tried this on the last episode, Streetcar Named Marge. And I think the audio on your end
was a bit amazing. Amazing.
Which is why we're putting up two episodes together.
Yeah.
So if people do want to go back and listen to the second episode, I think it's still listenable, but you'll just hear you talking a bit quieter, and then I'll burst your eardrums with some sort of laugh,
yeah,
or something like that.
Kind of the reverse.
It's not that bad.
The reverse of the first episode.
Yeah, basically.
I think one of us has to be drowned out by the other one.
So now we're trying it the opposite direction, in that I am now coming to you electronically, and you are the one in the room.
I have the power now. So let's hope this goes a bit better anyway.
Yes, I think so. I think we've got it worked out.
Yeah. We can't be, you know, leaving the fans 3 months between episodes. So.
No, we're doing our best to make this a weekly thing.
Yeah.
There's just a few. It's like with any old car. It takes a few hiccups. You got to give it a bit of a push, and then you're gone.
What kind of car are you driving?
A heap of junk.
It's a bottomless pit of expenses.
Yes.
Anyway, that's for our sister podcast. So what else are we talking about today?
We are talking about Homer the Heretic, Season 4, Episode 3.
Yes.
Now,
sorry, go ahead.
Should we start with a bit of trivia?
Have you got some?
I got some trivia.
Ooh.
I can tell you that it was aired October 8th, 1992.
Yeah.
And you may notice that, we could talk about this when we get into the episode, but the chalkboard gag in this episode,
I did not pick up on, actually.
Bart wrote, "I will not defame New Orleans."
Ah.
Which was made as an apology to the citizens of New Orleans after it was musically insulted in the previous episode.
Very, very so good. I should have kept my eye out for that.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting that they straight away like, it's like, yeah, sorry about that.
Did you notice anything else different about this episode compared to last week's episode?
You know what? I did notice something different. The animation seemed a little bit different to me.
It was a lot different. Starting with this episode, film Roman replaced Kasky Supo as the animation production for the series, and I think it's markedly different.
It's much better, because even when you were telling me before about like the episodes that are coming up like in the season, that's why I remember them as being like almost season 5 and 6, because it's like, well, the animation's pretty good on those episodes, and season 4 I always remember it has been a bit iffy animation wise. This is obviously the point where they turned it around.
Yeah, but then also looking at the animation, I had watched it on Saturday and I did my notes and stuff, and then I watched it again about half an hour ago, just before we started recording, and I watched it with Faye, and it was a HD version I watched, and I was just saying to Faye, does the animation seem off? Like, it just seemed weird compared to when I watched it on Saturday, and it's because it was the HD version, I think. And I was just like, kind of seemed, kind of looked like what it looked like when I was watching on Mushrooms before. Like, it looks like The Simpsons.
Where
it sounds like The Simpsons, but is it
The
Simpsons?
It's just jarring.
Yeah. Reverend Lovejoy.
Well, I can tell you as well, this episode, he got a Nielsen rating of 12.0.
Oh.
Equivalent to approximately 11.2 million people watched it.
Wow.
Which followed second, as it generally did at that time, to Married with Children.
Yeah.
That's
something
which is
just, I remember
mental.
Reading that Married with Children, like, its ratings were like crazy
to
high. Like, And
I never knew it was, like, I knew it was popular, like, but I didn't know it was, like, that popular.
Apparently Al Bundy was very relatable. And, like, I know that when Homer, the episode where Homer goes to space, they had that joke about, like, the top shows on TV, and it was, like, one was Home Improvement, and the other one was, like, Married with Children. And he's sitting on the couch and then just like flushes the toilet beside his couch.
Let's have sex.
No pig.
Very good.
Have you got anything else, trivia wise?
I don't really have anything else. That's pretty much everything about you.
No, that's it for me. I've a few bits more trivia, I guess, when we get into the episode proper.
Yeah.
But yeah, other than that, the preamble is over. Shall we get ready to roll?
Let's get on to the main course.
Boom. So, Andy.
Yes, sir.
What did you think of this week's couch gag?
See, this is what I actually was interested to hear about, because on Wikipedia it said that the couch gag was different than the one that I saw. And
what one did you see?
Well, first of all, on Wikipedia it said the sofa swivels around into the wall and an empty sofa assumes its place.
That's the one I saw.
See, on my one...
Wasn't a fan.
Yeah, see, I wouldn't have been a fan of that. But on my one it was, like, they get to the couch and the Simpsons are already sitting on the couch and they're all just looking at each other. So,
I do remember that.
Yeah, right? Me too, but I don't know why it was different.
Sorry, what was that?
I don't know why it was different on mine to yours.
Yeah, well... anyway, how did you feel at the start of this episode? After we get into it, like the opening scene.
Well, is this where Homer's in the womb?
Yes.
I always liked this scene, I don't know why. It always stuck with me.
I love the fact that they use the, you know, 2001 Space Odyssey music, like the Blue Danube. Yeah, no, whole world knows you haven't seen it. Yeah, but it's just that piece of music, I think, is fantastic.
Yeah, it worked really well done.
Better, like. Yeah. Then, you know, they have Homer and Marge talk. Well, it was great that it cut from the fetus being ripped out to Homer being ripped out of the bed.
Yeah.
Which was a great little visual, I guess.
Yeah, I like that. That was well done.
I'm all naked and wet. And then Marge saying, get up, time for church. Doesn't want to go. It's church. You have to go.
What I like...
too cold out.
I was going to say, what I like is when he's putting on his pants.
Yeah, I have that written there.
It's like one size fits all, my butt. It was just like the way, like, the pants just rip and he's like, forget it, I'm not going.
That's it. I did like the little side gag of the polar bear outside as well.
Just taking a fish from the trash can.
Yeah.
There were some great visual gags about how cold it was.
There were some great visual gags, full stop, in this episode. But yeah,
there was, yeah,
a few more coming. So then all the Marge and the kids are in the car, and Bart is asking, where's Homer?
He's resting.
Resting hungover, resting fired, help me out here.
And I have the next scene where it has Homer just in bed, wrapped in the blankets. He's like, I'm a big toasty cinnamon bun. He looks so comfortable.
He looked like, not like, well, maybe a cinnamon bun, but like, for me, I was like, he looked like a croissant or something there. Like, they really got that image down of like, just warm and toasty.
He looked so toasty.
And I have it in my notes that one of my favourite lines, I think probably in Simpsons history, because I always use it myself. He's like, think, man, think. Think, think, think.
Do you think it?
Oh, better get
Do you
him.
Think it when you have to do a whiz like he does?
No, I just mean in any case when I was like, come on, think, Terry, like, think, 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 think. So then he's in the bathroom and he's whizzing with the door open, and he loves it.
I love the radio guy. Like, I love the radio voices that they do in The Simpsons. It's like, it's
They're the
11 kbbl
best.
degrees below zero. I hope your son lives more.
I love just before he turns on the radio, he's in the shower singing Delilah.
Yeah.
And I've been there myself on many occasions, have that blaring out on the radio, singing along with it.
Do you play music when you're in the shower, out of interest?
Oh, most definitely.
Every single time?
The phone isn't charging, it's in the bathroom with me, and I'm rocking out.
I'm 100% the same. Unless Johnny's
Oh,
asleep.
yeah.
Unless Johnny's asleep or
Yeah,
something.
well.
But then, yeah, I'm always playing the radio or Spotify.
So sorry, back on track.
But I digress.
We jump over to the, yeah, we jump over to the church, and you see everybody, like we're talking about these visuals of people being cold. Maggie trying to open her milk bottle, and her milk is just one frozen block.
Yeah. There was a bit, I was a big fan of the line where Reverend Lovejoy is like, "I'm afraid our furnace isn't working," and some guy shouts out, "Yeah, what's the story?"
I'm liking a lot of Reverend Lovejoy in this episode, to be honest.
Yeah.
He's like, let's just put it out of our minds and turn to the Lamentations of Jeremiah, a long version. Joy is gone from our hearts, our dancing has turned to mourning. And then it's like cuts to Homer like doing the Risky Business parody, sliding in his short shorts. Yeah.
I think the Risky Business, maybe back then it was fresh, but the Risky Business montages,
Don't say it. Don't say
granted I
it.
haven't seen it, mate, but I don't know,
You know it.
you know the bit, but it, I don't know, I'm kind of done with those, you know what I mean? I get this was 92, so you know, this is probably one of the first times,
Yeah. Yeah,
but that's just
well,
me.
yeah, you're an asshole.
Hey, I had this advertised as a clean show on iTunes, Derry. Gonna get pulled off the internet.
You have it advertised as clean?
Yeah.
I never agreed to
It's in the fine print.
that. So we cut to Homer in the kitchen, making his patented space age out of this world moon waffles. Can you give me the ingredients to said moon waffles?
I believe he had caramels, waffle
Yeah.
batter, liquid
Yeah.
smoke.
Yes.
Liquid smoke.
Whatever that is. Whatever that is.
Completely like,
No.
not even like explained, like liquid smoke.
Yeah.
I remember
And
thinking at the
then
time
he.
when I was a kid that like that looked delicious. Whereas now,
Oh my God, I have it in my notes. It's a heart attack waiting to
yeah,
happen. Like,
and I forget that he wraps it
he wraps it around
in a stick of
a
butter.
stick of butter, like, oof. And it puts a toothpick through it and starts going to town on
Lord, no wonder he has a quadruple
it.
bypass.
Yeah. You fat bastard. So then we're back over to the church, Reverend Lovejoy. And he was cast into the fiery cauldron of hell, the searing heat, the scalding rivers of molten sulfur.
Ah, I'm there.
Yeah, I like that. I always like that. Even as he's saying, you can see like Lisa like rubbing her arms together, like feeling warm from the words coming out of his mouth.
I actually missed that bit when I was a kid. You know what I mean? I mean, I kind of got it, but like, it's just the whole joke of like, "Ah, I'm there." I just got a good chuckle
Yeah.
about that more so than I remember.
And then we're back in the Simpsons abode, and Homer is eating ice cream now. Really having
What a morning he's having.
yeah. It's yeah. They're only gone about 20 minutes, and he's certainly getting some stuff done anyway. But he gets the dog in to lick the ice cream off his chest. Thank God he kept it to his chest.
I guess it cuts back to the church and service has ended. Go in peace.
Go in peace. And then I did like this, just because we were going on about how much we enjoyed Flanders last week. He's trying to get out of the door. It's like, he starts, man, the door's frozen shut, and it's the only way out.
Now, I think what we should probably do before we go any further is play a short clip of this scene, because I think it's worth looking at. And it sort of shows the terrible time that the family are having compared to the great time that Homer's having.
And he was cast into the fiery cauldron of hell, the searing heat, the scalding rivers of molten sulfur.
Oh, I'm there.
Uh-oh. Here, boy. Okay.
The service is ended. Go in peace.
The door's frozen shut, and it's the only way out. What
am I going to do? My father, who art married, how would be?
Lisa, this is neither the time nor the place.
That was Johnny Calhoun with Gonna Find Me a Genie with a Magic Bikini.
Of course, Johnny's next record was a spoken word album of his right-wing political views. It kind of killed his career. If you can tell me the name of that album, call our contest line now.
I know that. Hello, this is Homer Simpson.
Homer, can you name that title?
This Things I Believe.
Can we accept that?
With that clip, there's something I was saying this to Faye when I was watching it, and it's one of my favourite things. I don't know why, it always sort of stuck with me.
Yeah.
When they ask Homer, can you name that album? And he's like looking at it, it's like, these things I believe. He's like, this things I believe. And then when it cuts to the church, it kind of feels like it's an end of the world type scenario, or apocalypse or something like that. They're all sort of cabin fever, everybody going crazy.
Are we rolling right now?
Yeah, we're rolling.
That was just us talking.
Yeah.
Well, while we're rolling, can I say how much I cracked up at the bit where he's like, that was Johnny Calhoun with Gonna Find Me a Genie with a Magic Bikini. Johnny's next record was a spoken word album of his right-wing political views and killed his career. It's like the way I love that voice.
They're great. Like, so I guess what, they get out of the church after the reverend is the reverend is reading out the tales from the Sunday Bulletin. Card tail for sale. Top badly damaged. Leg missing. Otherwise fine. $1 or best offer.
What a strange.
And then we're back to Homer. He's there with the cat now, watching the Three Stooges. which I thought I have in my notes. It's just very good. I've written down. It's like, now stop manipulating my spine. No, we don't know nothing about manipulating. You heard the lady. Grab a spine and get cracking.
You just hear.
Oh, is that leader?
Now,
I have to say,
because I think it's the next scene where they're out of, where they open the door and they're all running out.
They get the door open, yeah.
Can I just say, I don't know why, but Bart really irritates me in this episode.
I have that note as well, and in the last episode he sort of irritated me as well. Like, it's been a big drop off since the season one opener, the first episode of this season, sorry.
Yeah, that's good. He's just too, like, I can't even put my finger on it. He's just too annoying, like
obnoxious.
It's kind of like the way generally, because Bart's 10, right?
He's
kind of like the way
a 10-year-old.
An actual 10-year-old boy thinks that he's funny, but he's not funny.
Yeah.
That's basically the best way.
So, everybody's rushing out of the church, cuts back to Homer, who wants some of that sweet, sweet pep. You turn on the TV, and this is one of my favorite Simpsons tropes, where it's people sitting around the table, and it's like, well, let's define our terms, gentlemen. Are we talking about redistricting? Are we talking about Apportionment.
It's a word I've only heard in this episode.
Yeah, I just think right now, it reminded me of the one classic Krusty.
Well, that depends on what you mean by crisis. I love like the way they overdo like the bits that are supposed to be boring. So it's like,
yeah,
want us to find our terms,
gentlemen. Yeah. And then a great little joke.
Yeah.
We interrupt this public affairs program to bring you a football game. And I have my notes just because we go back to Marge then, and she's in the car with the kids trying to get the car to start. They're doing a really good job of making it seem like Homer's having the best day ever.
Marge, he really does seem like he's having the best day ever.
But I think the second episode in a row where Marge is like a really put upon mother, you know, with this yeah. family, like the life is just being drained out by this family, like.
And poor, like, yeah, like Homer again is putting her through, even though he's not really technically doing anything, but he's putting
no,
her.
No, he's not helping. Like,
no, he's just an absolute liability. Like.
So then it cuts back to Homer, and he is watching the football game.
We've seen nothing but razzle dazzle here today.
3 visits from Morgana, the kissing bandit, and the astonishing return of Jim Brown.
Now,
I think that
I missed that joke. Is Jim Brown dead or something?
Yeah, Jim Brown. No, he's just like an old football player who's like one of the greats.
Oh right,
who wasn't playing at the time. Like, I have it written down. That's a very. I love those kind of throwaway jokes that I was just. In the Simpsons there,
that you almost miss, especially when you're a kid, you miss all those little throwaways.
Especially coming from Ireland, like you wouldn't have a clue who he was.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Homer finds a penny.
Oh yes,
and I love
when he finds it, where he's like, could it be, and then like Abe Lincoln on the penny's like mm-hmm.
And you know, it comes to this thing that, like, I don't know why it always stuck with me, of like moments that you remember from The Simpsons, was the best day of your life.
Yeah.
And like, it's sort of the Homer getting married and then the beer truck.
Yeah.
And like him running around with the beer truck is an image that always sort of stuck with me.
And then, but of course, he still chooses this morning as the best day of his life over his wedding day again.
Yeah.
For all Marge.
Great man.
And also, like, I'm sure you have this in your notes as well, but I don't know when you want to bring this up, but the whole act of like giving up his faith, like they could never do something like that now, you know, like it's so,
no, because who has that anymore, like, you know.
Yeah,
it's really, like, it's a different world. This, as I was watching it, I was like, this actually reminds me of like when I was younger.
Yeah.
And
church is more important.
My mom would bring me and my sister to church on a Sunday, and my dad would stay at home.
No way.
Listen to his music, like, and it'd be like he'd have the Sunday morning to himself, like.
He had the right idea.
Yeah, most definitely. But like, it was the sort of thing where my mom would be like, "Okay, you have to bring them to church, to like, it's, you're not rearing them correctly if you don't bring them to church." But that faded out. Like, as soon as we hit our teens, like, that faded out really.
And did your mom still go?
No, not really.
Yeah.
Once sort of it got to the point where we stopped going, she stopped going.
We were never really a church going family, to be honest. I mean, we did occasionally go, but it was only more for Christmas, Easter, that sort of thing.
See, we never really did it on Christmas. It was like, it used to be 8 or 9 around, like, up until, I'd say until about 11.
To be honest, us two, we kind of stopped after a while and then just never went.
Be on a Sunday, like, bored out of your bloody mind.
Boring.
So anyway, the family arrives home, and Homer is saying, "Oh, how was church? And did you catch what Bart and Lisa say?"
No.
Oh, great, because they mutter under their breath. I had to look it up in the script for it, but it's Bart says, "Get bent, you old bat." And Lisa says, "Just fun, that's what it was."
No way.
Yeah.
That is funny.
That was great, like, just because they're muttering it under their breath. Marge is trying to blow her nose.
It's such an unknown Lisa line as well, that one.
Yeah. But then when I was thinking about it, I was like, yeah, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah, it's funny.
Homer says he on the other hand has been having the best day of his life. He owes it all to skipping church.
I'm not happy with that.
Marge is shocked. No. I like this line. Homer's like fun I don't. I'm never going to church again. And it's kind of, I notice it as well, like, it's like he goes like out of his way, like, he never say like fun in any other episode.
Yeah. And like fun
as opposed to like, yeah, as opposed to like hell, or like he waits until he's on his own till he says like, you bet your sweet ass.
Oh yeah, it's kind of like a little, yeah, you know, sort of, like the way Homer would only speak in front of his family.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the way she's so, like, are you giving up your faith? Like, no. Well, yes.
Yeah. So the next scene then is Marge, and she is, it's a nice little joke I had in there, her cleaning the waffle iron.
Yeah.
And just like, has enough and throws it down. Like. But this scene kind of bothered me in that, like, she's asking him, I can't believe he's given up church, and he says, what's the big deal about going to some building every Sunday? I mean, isn't God everywhere? And Bart chimes in like, amen, brother. This is the sort of obnoxious
mess
that we were talking about.
And then Homer keeps making his points, and he's like, tell it, daddy.
Yeah, and then testify. I'm like, oh.
It's like, ugh, that is awful.
So the next scene is Homer and Marge up in the bedroom. Right, and Homer trying to seduce Marge.
They were way more frisky back in those days.
Yeah, but I love how he's like, come to bed. And he's like, it's good for what ails you. And he's like, I can wait all.
And the fact that when Marge is praying, he's just there like rubbing her hair and annoying her basically.
Yeah. We've all been there, guys, right? Huh? So then he has his dream where he meets God.
Now, I think it's, again, before we go any further, I think it's that time again for a clip of basically Homer talking to God and sort of outlining his views on why he's not going to church.
God?
Thou hast forsaken my church.
Well, kind of, but...
But what?
I'm not a bad guy. I work hard and I love my kids. So why should I spend half my Sunday hearing about how I'm going to hell?
You've got a point there. You know, sometimes even I'd rather be watching football. Does St. Louis still have a team?
No, they moved to Phoenix.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I really hate about church? Those boring sermons.
I couldn't agree more. That Reverend Lovejoy really displeases me. I think I'll give him a canker sore.
Give him one for me.
I will.
So I figure I should just try to live right and worship you in my own way.
So Homer is having like a full-on religious experience here, right?
Yeah, basically, he's talking to God.
Like, he has seen God, like, you know, which is a pretty big thing to do.
I never really thought of it, like, you go forward to seasons, whatever, 10, 15, 20, 25, it's like, oh, I had an actual experience where he's talking to God.
Yeah, or at least in his mind, like, you know. Yeah. I like how when they're talking, they get into the small stuff about like football.
Does St. Louis still have a team?
St. Louis still have a team? Nah, they moved to Phoenix.
Oh yeah.
But I like what Homer is saying here, that like he works hard and he loves his kids, so why does he have to spend Sunday hearing how he's gonna go to hell?
That's kind of what I was not even surprised about, but like almost impressed about.
It's logical.
Yeah, it's because like his arguments. Like, they'd be so careful now to tap dance around the issue, where he's just laying out, like he did at the breakfast table, and again when he's talking to God, of, like, his legitimate reasons for why he shouldn't have to go to church, and you can't really argue with a lot of them.
No, not at all, like, you know,
they're all sound arguments.
It's not like he's going to start having, you know, sex with other people or killing people, yeah. Or, you know,
I'm surprised. The commandments. I'm surprised that this episode didn't get a lot of criticism as well, just from the, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I like some of the points that they're making in it, definitely, like.
Yeah, but you know what a lot of those, you know, Bible, but the Bible Belt and all that sort of stuff in America, they're big into religion. Because even, you know.
I actually met somebody from the Bible Belt over the course of the summer.
Really? Were they crazy?
A really interesting conversation. Just because, like, she was Republican and voted Trump and stuff. Really interesting conversation to have with them, but they're warped view, in my opinion. Like, just.
See, I just wouldn't get into it.
No, but I was kind of fascinated. I was like, oh, well, what do you think about this or whatever? And she's giving me her answers, and I was like, really? Wow.
That's kind of what I'm like talking to my dad about Trump.
Oh yeah, he can't. He's a Trump man, right?
I don't know if he still is, but I'd say he still is. Because right up until the last time I had a chat with him about 5 or 6 months ago about it, he was still all for it. I don't know. He's loved
Trump.
Does
he just like his entrepreneurial spirit, or what is it?
Yeah,
surely you can agree with.
Yeah, I don't know. He's been talking about Trump for years. But he got all his books and all like that. So he did like him before this, but it's just mad, like.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyway. Moving on.
So Homer is in the yard with Lisa, and he's rocking a pretty cool bathrobe.
Looking like a monk.
Yeah, I think it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
You see him break out again in the episode where it's Do What You Feel Day.
Oh, yeah.
You see him wearing it again. So watch out for that. But great little line here where he says, if he's wrong, he'll recount on his deathbed.
I like that line.
And then a few animals come over. Hello, my animal friends. Peace be with you. And then next he's in the shower and they're still with him.
Guys, please, could you give me 5 minutes?
Very good. That's one that I was, again, there's a few iconic moments. That one always stuck with me. Like,
yeah, or it's on the shoulder when in the shower.
Yeah.
Can I say as well, if I may, big fan of the next scene where.
Love it. How it in my.
It was just the whole. It was like such an overreaction where he's like, they have Reverend Lovejoy over for dinner, or Marge does, to try and, I guess, persuade Homer. And she's like, Reverend Lovejoy, I had a bit of an ulterior motive for inviting you to dinner. And he's like, what?
Now, what do you think he is thinking is going on here when she says that?
I honestly didn't think about it. Do you think it's a sex thing?
I kind of, that's where I was going. It's like, he's like, huh? These cats try to swing? Like,
he's playing footsie with them.
I think that's what was supposed to be implied, but maybe that's just, the fact that we both have mentioned it, though, means.
That went right over my head.
Really? Really?
Yeah, I didn't think that at all.
You're the one that brought up the overreaction, and then when I asked you about it, you said sex thing, so.
That's sort of, it was only when you said, like, what do you think?
Well, I didn't even mention sex.
Oh, yeah, no.
Sex.
But when you suggested, what do you think he was, like, that was the only thing it could be. It's got to be sex, right?
Well. You know.
Terry? Are you still there?
Anyway, so then Homer tells Lovejoy that he's talked to God and he said, seek a new path. And I love this line where he's like, he appeared before me in a dream and I knew it was special because I usually dream about naked Marge.
I also like the scene where he's like, where Reverend Lovejoy says, remember Matthew 7:26, and then Homer's like, and you remember Matthew 21:17.
What does he say there?
It's like, and he left them and went there. He went out to the city of Bethany and he lodged there.
Yeah
think about it. And also the next scene where he's calling in sick because it's a religious holiday, he's like, hello work. This is Homer Simpson.
Hello, work.
Fair enough.
That was always a good quiz question when we were, you know, trying to stump each other in school asking Simpsons trivia questions. What was Homer's religious holiday?
Oh, yeah. Easter.
Maximum occupancy.
Yeah, can you tell me what the number in Moe's of maximum occupancy is?
Number 6, my friend.
So, maximum occupancy is 6 people in Moe's?
Yeah.
No, it's not. 65. You're telling me that they can only fit 6 people in Moe's by law?
Two things here. One, I remember there being a 6, so technically I was half right. But two, then I thought, because maybe Mo only likes those deadbeats sitting at the bar, so the joke might have been maximum occupancy 6.
No, well, hold on, that goes against everything Mo stands for. He wants to make money.
Yeah, but does he though?
Yeah, and am I wrong in saying here that this is Mo's first appearance this season?
Was he in the play Streetcar Named Marge? No,
I don't think he was.
I think this might be his first. I have to say, I was always a big Mo fan. He's one of my favorite characters in the whole series.
He kills it here with this little cameo. You know, he's born a snake handler and he'll die a snake handler. Something that people still say.
The blaster's all over his hand.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, Mo, like, and they were right to make him a bigger character as the series went on, but he was always a scene stealer. Like,
he's like, there's a few characters like Mo, Principal Skinner. There's a few that were Skinner, I'm almost laughing before they've even said anything.
Yeah, you're just waiting for them to open their mouth.
Yeah, you're waiting for the last to go.
Yeah. So we cut back to Homer at home, and the doorbell rings, and it's the Flanders clan.
Now, should we? I think this is definitely clip worthy because it's basically the Flanders family trying to.
I got a lot of notes about this clip as well. So
yeah, they're trying to convert Homer. So maybe we'll play the clip for people, and then we can discuss it.
Okay.
Neighbor, I heard about your heresy, and we've made it our mission to win you back to the flock.
No sale.
Homer, Christian life isn't all praying and sacrifice. Hey, dig this.
God said to Noah, there's gonna be a floody, floody. Rain came down, it started to get muddy, muddy. Get those animals out on the arky-arky.
Leave me alone.
Dad, the heathen's getting away.
I see him, son.
Love about The Simpsons classic, like how good they were at doing stuff with, like, Homer... and Flanders there, you know, Flanders like, I see him, son, and then immediately they turn into the 70s car chase. You know, the music goes and it's like, yeah.
And plus how quick they switch from like this feel good Christian like song to, it's like, Dad, the heathen's getting away. I see him, son.
And you know, it's Homer drives over, he drives past the train track, and then Flanders like
drives through,
basically like
the one empty carriage, the train, like, 100 miles an hour.
one in a million chance, like, you're gonna kill him and his family.
Yeah, I'm like, thinking that, like, his wife and kids are in the car.
And then of course they get to the end, this classic bit where Homer jumps off the pier and lands on the boat, and Flanders has to jam on the brake.
Homer lands on a big pile of garbage or something on a ship.
Well, he lands on a ship, and then it's like, where are we going? And it sort of pulls out, you know, it's like Garbage Island. You see, like, giant pile of garbage behind them. I have in my notes as well, straight after that, we go into Itchy and Scratchy. They're all sitting around watching Itchy and Scratchy. I think this is our first Itchy and Scratchy of the season as well.
I have to say, I generally love Itchy and Scratchy starting off here. This one didn't really do it for me.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you like how your feelings in general were for them. They can be very good.
I do generally really like them though, but this one was like the one where he gets his tongue and he puts it in a rocket and flies it around the moon, and then the moon starts to fall towards Earth and crushes him. It's fine, but it's like
I wasn't a fan, I have to say.
Yeah. But I love the whole presence of Itchy and Scratchy in The Simpsons.
It's very clever.
Like the one where I can't remember which episode it is, where like he like accepts like the baby on his doorstep, but it's like full of bombs or something, you know. And then but instead of going off then and there, it like waits till they're old and they have kids and then it goes off.
Yeah.
I love all of that.
So the kids want to know how come they have to go to church and Dad gets to stay home and watch cartoons. And Marge says, unless he changes, she'll have to tell them that their father is wicked.
Yeah, wicked.
Yeah.
A bit much.
Yeah. Well, Homer said, he wants to tell them that there is a so-called wicked guy. He lands some long hair and some wild ideas. Didn't always do what other people thought was right. And that man's name was... Well, he forgets. But the point is... Well, he forgets that too. But Marge, you know who he's talking about. He used to drive that blue car. Which... I think it's a
Kids wait outside.
I think it's a great little thing, just continuing with the religious theme of the episode, that like, okay, long hair, wild ideas, okay, he's talking about Jesus. Like at the end, he used to drive that blue car.
And they really don't let up on the religion thing. Like they really don't tap dance around it. Like that whole episode is full on like renouncing Christianity.
Yeah, so then, it cuts to the church, and it's straight away the first thing is the devil walks amongst us, and then Bart grabs the guy.
If I can actually just go back just for a second, because when she's like, I'm only going to ask you one more time, are you sure you want to come with us to church? And the man on TV said, coming up next, make your own ladder. Very sure. Make your own ladder.
That's enough to keep my home. So Lovejoy says, don't look for the pitchfork and pointy tail. Today's devil is assumed a more seductive form, pleasing to the eye. And then cuts to Homer in his underwear, lying on the couch, reading a play dude. an interview with Lauren Michaels. Wait a minute, that's no good. Do you know who Lauren Michaels is?
The guy who did 2.5 Men, SNL.
SNL, yeah. Chuck Lorre is 2.5 Men. I'm actually surprised you knew who that was.
Oh yes, sir. Yeah. Although I thought Chuck Lorre and Lorne Michaels was the same person. But anyway, there was one thing that I was thinking when he's there lying on the couch in his underwear reading a play, dude. Do you think he's having a wank?
No.
Who sits on the couch in an empty house in their underwear reading a pornographic magazine?
I don't think he's in the throes of it right there. Like, maybe he's building up to it. Like,
yeah, but you don't pick up a play dude just to look at the pictures and then put it down again.
No, but like, he's not in the process of it.
No, obviously.
He might. Yeah, he could. But then,
I think that's what was on the agenda.
Well, yeah, and then the doorbell rings.
Yeah.
And it's crusty at the door, so I don't think he ever gets there.
No, he doesn't get it. But, I mean, I'm pretty sure that that's where it was going. Simpsons taking a very dark turn if Krusty hadn't knocked on that door.
Yeah, mad about the sex this episode, Catwell.
Hey, man, I'm just saying it how I see it.
Yeah, well, it is a great little scene with Krusty. Gotta get this back on track here. Christy shows up and he says he's collecting for the Brotherhood of Jewish Clowns. Last year, tornadoes claimed the lives of 75 Jewish clowns. The worst incident was during our convention in Lubbock, Texas. There was flapping shoes and rainbow wigs everywhere. It was terrible.
I love when Krusty gets emotional.
I love it. Having back then in my notes, Krusty, fantastic. And
then is this a religious thing? A religious clown thing? Yes.
Close the door on his face. Well, bless you, eh? Yeah, and it cuts back to Love. They're really doing a good job here of like juxtaposition between church and Homer again. And it's Lovejoy, remember the Sabbath day, keep it holy. Homer is in the quickie bar buying a crate of beer and some cigars.
And then Homer basically just slates a poo's religion.
Yeah.
Like, completely. He's like, geez, a poo, when you were they were handing out religions, you must have been now taking a whiz. 1,000%, you can't say that now.
No, no way. So then it goes back to Lovejoy and it's pride goeth before destruction, and Homer, he, you know, they do a good job here. Everyone is stupid except for me, and he instantly falls asleep on the couch holding a beer and cigar. The cigar falls onto the play dude and starts the fire that goes spreads incredibly fast throughout the house
because it's travels down to the basement where there's a box of oily rags.
Great little joke.
Marked oily rags.
Yeah.
Just explodes.
Now, here's something as well. The whole system is breaking down in this last scene. The dog runs in, right? And he goes for Homer's pocket. And a chocolate bar falls out. And he runs off with it. So, not only is Homer about to burn to death, the dog is trying to kill himself by eating chocolate. Really taking like a dark turn here.
Yeah, but I don't think the dog knows that the chocolate's gonna kill him.
No, but
still,
they could have had him grab bacon out of the pocket or something like that, like, you know.
Yeah, true.
You know,
good point, actually.
Sons of bitches.
Things are going from bad to worse here.
Also, I noticed that when the fire spreads and it hits Homer's hair, it singes off his hair.
Yeah.
And then he gets up and he sings the infamous fire song.
Yeah.
Do you want to give us a few bars there, Cantwell?
I can't remember the song, Terry.
What? When a fire starts to burn, there's a lesson you must learn. Something, something,
something,
and you'll
something,
see
something.
You'll live in catastrophe. But while he's doing this, I noticed that it's bad animation. The two hairs that were previously just singed off in the last...
They're back.
Yeah, they're back. Unbelievable.
Sure hope somebody got fired for that one.
Yeah. Then Homer collapses. And Apu spots fire coming from Homer's house. And he puts on his fire chief helmet and his jacket. And tells the bullies that they're on their honor not to steal anything. And then he picks up a little baby and puts him on the counter and says, "Little jump shit, the store is in your hands."
And now I have waited for this day.
Cocks a shotgun at the, and then
it just cuts away. I was going to say, I love the scene where he cocks the gun and then it has the bullies like mid mouth full and the beer just falls out their mouth. It was very well animated.
What happens next there? That's what I'd like to know.
Yeah.
Like it cuts away.
Massacre at the Quickie Mart.
Baby guns down 3 local thugs.
Apu is arrested. It's like, what did you expect? He was 2. How could you be so irresponsible?
So the fire engine is speeding towards the fire, and then it has to come to an abrupt stop. I don't know why, just the sound of the ducks crossing the road is great. I love it.
You ducks are really trying my patience.
So next scene then is Ned runs up to Homer's window and sees Homer on the floor. Now, before we go any further, I have a huge problem with this, right?
Now,
Sorry, go on ahead.
Do you want to play the clip for people before you get into this, or...?
Okay, yeah, we'll go with the clip. But I got some problems with this. I gotta get some stuff off my chest.
Homer! Homer! Dear Lord, may your loving hand guide Homer to the mattress square and true. Okay.
Okay, so last week I pointed out the plot point of remember your one disappeared. The childminder just disappeared.
Yeah.
Yeah, so now, you know, we're after watching that clip here, and my huge problem is, why the fuck isn't Flanders at church?
Yeah.
The most religious man in all of Springfield is not at church.
Why the fuck isn't Flanders?
Why the fuck isn't he not? It's a huge, huge plot point.
That is a big error.
Massive plot hole. Like, he's the guy that saves Homer. He's like, why isn't he at church?
That is a good point.
Yeah.
Why do you think he isn't at church? Is he so holy that he doesn't need church?
No, because he was at church the Sunday before. Remember, he was locked in. Why isn't he at church this Sunday? I'll tell you why. Because I needed somebody to save Homer, and they were too goddamn lazy.
That's probably right.
To think of another way. I mean, it was just...
Who else could it have been?
I'm sorry, but...
I mean, they really should have just...
Really, but...
They really just should have had the dog instead of taking the chocolate bar, pull them out, and then they can just continue on.
Even put a scene in where Flanders has to go back and he forgot his lucky Bible or his lucky cross or something like that. Like, have him in the car, like, ooh, can't forget my lucky cross or something like that. Like,
that is true, actually. But I will say, for the scene itself, what...
Oh, there's some great
and
stuff.
Like the whole, like I remember specifically my dad when we were watching it, absolutely cracking up at the bit where he's like, "Please let Homer land on this mattress," or whatever. Like that. He just bounces right back into the house. That's
my favorite bit is like, oh. He jumps out like and
that's the most that you'll get Flanders mad. Like if that was anyone else, it'd be like, "Oh, come on." Flanders like, okay. Does this super athletic flip back into the house?
So Flanders saves Homer, and Homer asks why would he save him. Flanders says, "You've done the same for me," and then cuts to Homer imagining him watching Flanders burn to death, and him like having a cocktail,
and Flanders is like
laughing his head off.
he's laughing like,
yeah.
So dark.
Then he's like, I love it. Then he's like, that's right.
Yeah.
So then the family runs up to Homer. And like, our magazines and roach traps gone, all gone.
Can I ask though, why are the Springfield like, is this like a volunteer fire service? Like,
yeah, I think that's what I got. It was a volunteer fire service. Again, I talked about a rogues gallery of players for the play last
week.
You got some heavy hitters in the fire brigade.
Why is Chief Wiggum in the fire brigade? Like, he's the chief of police.
They put him in there so he can say the line, "Ah, that's a nice chopper." that's why he's in the fire brigade. Kind of goes off the rails here at the end. But I did love the bit where Krusty comes out of the house with the cat stuck to his face.
Yeah.
I saved your cat. And again, Krusty was just at the house, and now he's back in the fire brigade.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Like, Why is the crusty Apu Chief Wiggum like this ragtag?
Crusty, like the biggest celebrity Springfield has, is volunteer firefighter.
They really could have been lost there. Mo, even they could have had. Mo should have put that cat gag just as well.
Did you notice who else was on the back of the fire truck?
I did not.
Milhouse's mother, Luann Van.
Who's calling them for a fire? This is absolute nobody. They can't do anything.
So Lisa says, "Truly, this was an act of God," and Flanders' house catches alight. Homer says that Flanders is a regular Charlie Church, and God didn't save his house. And then a great little gag: a cloud forms over the fire, puts it out, and then a rainbow appears.
And I think the next, I think our last clip that we have is the news report. It's only a very short clip, but I think we should play it because I just thought it was really funny where they're basically summing up what happened.
Fire, man's oldest foe. Insatiable, remorseless, unquenchable.
Hey, it's out!
Yay!
Coming up next, which work better, springy clothespins or the other kind?
Brockman, an always welcome presence in any episode.
He really is. The fact that he's trying to create this story of like man's foe, insatiable, remorseless, unquenchable. When the fire goes out, so coming up next, which work better, springy clothespin or the other guy?
So they jump back into the house here, and it's Homer saying there's a lesson in all this, and he's like, no,
the Lord is vengeful.
Oh, spiteful one, show me who to smite, and they shall be smoted. And Flanders says, Homer, God didn't set your house on fire. And Lovejoy says, but he was working in the hearts of your friends and neighbors when they went to your aid, be they Christian, Jew, or miscellaneous. And Apu,
shouldn't he have said Jewish?
Instead of Jew?
Yeah.
Well, I think the joke was more on miscellaneous. And then Apu said, Hindu, there are 700 million of us, you know. It's great.
I've never got that.
Never.
Miscellaneous.
Or miscellaneous. Hindu.
Hindu.
Homer says.
And then I guess Homer learns a lesson.
Yeah, again, we're into, maybe it's just we never noticed it before because the writing has been so good, but it's like into American Dad territory again, where it's like, okay, what did he say? You saved my life and you could have left me fried like the proverbial pancake that I am. Marge forgives him. Lovejoy's like, would you give church another try? And he's like, I'll be there next Sunday, front row center.
It's like literally the last 10 lines of each episode.
Like, how are we going to wrap
this
up?
Him saying, sorry.
Yeah. What do you think of the end here, where Homer's asleep in church and he sees God again?
It was okay, where he's asking for like the meaning of life, and he's like, Homer, I can't tell you that.
My favorite bit is,
I don't know, the whole thing of Hendrix playing
Ben Franklin.
I don't know.
That's great.
Yeah,
that's good.
It was fun. But apparently Hendrix, because Hendrix doesn't say anything, and apparently Hendrix actually had a line, but he didn't sound enough like Jimi Hendrix, and they thought, well, nobody knows what Benjamin Franklin sounds like, so you can keep him in.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it sounds kind of like how I think Ben Franklin would sound.
Yeah, I believe it.
Yeah. So he asks him what the meaning of life is. He says, you find out when you'll die. And Homer says,
I can't wait that long.
He says, you can't wait 6 months. And the episode they played 6 months from now was the episode where Homer goes into a coma. And
you're kidding me.
They had to do the clip show. Could it be that everything after that episode is in Homer's coma?
Holy shit.
Dead.
Is that really true? 6 months later, he's in the coma.
6 months later, the episode they do 6 months later is that one where Bart blows him up. It's the clip show when he's in the coma.
Do you think that was intentional?
I don't know. It was just a piece of trivia that I looked up.
That is interesting. Yeah. That's very interesting.
I more happenstance, I'd say.
I'd be very impressed if it was deliberate.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I wouldn't put it past them, I guess.
They were very prolific back in the day.
Yeah, well, they were intelligent, or they thought stuff out, like, so.
Yeah. That's interesting, though.
Yeah. And that's the episode.
And I guess that's where the episode ends.
Yeah. So,
roll.
Shall we get into ratings?
Ratings.
How do you find the defender?
So, Terry, let me ask you, what did you make of this episode?
Big fan of this episode, I have to say. Bart, I had my little rant at the end there with the plot point.
Why the fuck is Flanders in church?
Give me an answer.
I can't.
Yeah.
You stumped me.
Yeah, so, but there's a lot of good stuff in this episode, I have to say. Some great visual gags, as we talked about earlier. I don't actually think we talked about the one where Maggie puts her tongue on her car seat on the way to church and it gets stuck there. Great little stuff like that.
Yeah.
I like the topic of it. Like, I like how they tackled it as well, you know. How it was quite logical, his sort of reasons for not wanting to go to church. Like, you know, it wasn't like he lost faith in God or anything like that. It was just like, I don't actually want to spend my time going there. He gets nothing out of church, like, so.
I have to say,
not like he stops believing in God.
Very impressed with the actual, just with the dialogue of like that. Like, he's not against it. It's not for him. You know what I mean? And it's not. He's just talking about what suits him, and he makes really good arguments about how he's like, I love my kids, I work hard and all this sort of stuff, where you're thinking, yeah, you know what,
yeah, he won me over, like, with his argument completely, like,
yeah, I'm sold. I'm an atheist now.
Yeah, man.
what would you give this episode out of 10?
I give it 8 cats attacking a Jewish clown in the face out of 10.
I myself would give it 7.8 lucky pennies out of 10.
Ooh, lucky penny.
I don't know if it'd crack the 8 mark, just because I'm thinking of, you know, I'm thinking of the episodes that are even coming up in this season.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, I don't want to be too generous too early, although I did really enjoy it. It's one of those episodes that really sticks in my memory for some reason more than a lot of other old episodes.
It does, like, stand out. Like, I do remember it standing out.
I don't know if it's just the imagery of, like, Homer in his kitchen when they're all at church in his dressing gown, or the scene where he crashes back into the house off the mattress and things like that, or just in general all the little scenes of, like, the way they do the ice, and, like, when Reverend Lovejoy is getting all animated and he throws his arms back and, like, half of the plant breaks
by that was
him
good, yeah.
it's all frozen solid, like, just really clever little things that you can really see the difference in the new animators compared to the old, that like, I guess that's what sort of stays in the memory more than the other ones, you know.
Yeah, it was a very good episode. So far, I'd say I still think Camp Krusty is the best one we've done so far.
I would agree.
Yeah. So that's sitting top of the heap at the moment for me.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I would have, to be honest, as much as I liked, you know what, I would have Camp Krusty 1, I'd have Homer the Heretic 2, and Streetcar Named Marge 3.
Yeah, I'd go that way too, yeah.
I can't just pick a Marge episode over a Homer episode.
No,
I'm sorry.
But you know, just the Camp Krusty one, I think I was just surprised how much I enjoyed it, revisiting it, and like, it's still, maybe it was just because it seemed fresher, or maybe because it was more a self-contained episode.
I love those episodes. Those like, episodes that sort of take place somewhere else, completely
on location,
different.
Like, yeah.
Always a fan, whatever the show, of an episode that's just completely different, like that.
So what have we got next week, Andy?
Next week, Terry, we have episode 4, Lisa the Beauty Queen, which is basically the one where Lisa wins the beauty pageants. And it's been so long since I've actually seen the episode. I'm really looking forward to looking at that one again, because it's been so long since I've seen it.
And the loser's interface, the income she will make. Tea is for her tooth filled mouth. Tea is for her tooth filled mouth.
What about that? But there's some really good ones coming up. There's Lisa the Beauty Queen, then you got Three House of Horror 3.
I know you're a fan of that.
Itchy and Scratchy the movie. Marge Gets a Job. So there's a few really good ones coming up that, again, I was surprised to see they're in season 4. I really underestimated season 4, I have to say.
Oh, there's some great ones there.
I know, I can't wait to get to these ones.
Herb comes back at some time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Whacking Day. Yeah. Some good stuff.
Episode 20, as I recall. It's not as I recall. I'm looking at it right here in front of me.
Well, I think that'll wrap us up there for this week.
I think so. Thoroughly enjoyed watching and discussing. And hopefully the listenable. I think we are able to sort of adjust the levels a bit more now, so people should be able to hear us both pretty clearly. Apart from when I cut in and out.
Yeah, of course.
Of course. But anything to add?
No. Not one thing.
I think we shall issue a farewell boom and see you this day next week.
Oh, and by the way, just a quick amendment. Yes. If you want to contact us, we gave out the email address last week as putinhpodcast. It's actually putinhpod@gmail.com. That's putinhpod@gmail.com.
You can also send us any questions or whatever you want on our Twitter page, name yet to be decided, but by the time these episodes are posted,
you still haven't fucking set up the Twitter page. Unbelievable.
the Twitter page will be set up. So as far as they're concerned, it's already set up.
Okay. Unbelievable.
So you can find us on all of your social medias. Some yes to be please do so.
We're not getting any, nothing is coming through there, Campbell. Let's just end it.
Okay, so my best stuff. Alright.
We're leaving that in anyway.